In a world full of film and TV news.
This just in.
Breaking news for you now.
Gotta interrupt you here. We have some breaking news.
Breaking news.
To another story that is breaking overnight.
Three men have joined forces to bring you
The Weekly Cut.
Hello and welcome to the Weekly Cut podcast. This is your number one place for TV and film. I am your host Brad and this is co-host Connor T.
Afternoon.
What beverage you got?
I'm drowning in Bud Light. It's a bucket. It's massive.
After your nine yesterday. I've got a Johnny Walker Black Straight because I'm sophisticated and cooler than you. It's bank holiday.
It is.
Why?
The banks are on holiday.
I don't know if that's a joke or not.
Correct.
Are you taking a piss?
That's why they were a thing.
Are you taking a piss?
That's why it's bank holiday. The banks go on holiday.
I'll have to ask you after. I don't know if you're still joking or not.
That is legit. That is correct.
Wow. Never knew that. Well. Never knew that. Okay. So it's a pretty big episode. I'm not trying to pump it up for the listeners, but it's probably one of our biggest this year easily. I'll get into it in a second. But first, if you are a fan of us, or a fan of the podcast, or a fan of Connor, he's actually all right. Leave us a review. It really, really does help us out. But at the very least, listen to the podcast and follow us on Twitter and TikTok at Weekly Cut. Get yourself involved and keep yourself up to date. Now, I said it was packed.
Yeah.
This is why. It's made your cut this week. Mad Max, new movie in the works that me and Connor's been longing for. Chris Hemsworth has a huge dig at Marvel and Thor Love and Thunder. The Rock's got a hit piece. I'd call it an assassination piece, but we'll get into it. That drops this week. It's got the internet talking. We've got trailers for The Boys Season 4 and Francis Ford Coppola's new Megalopolis movie, which has got shrouded in controversy and interesting data, as the Australians say. And we've also saw The Fall Guy.
Yeah, we did.
We did. Yeah. Okay, so let's get into the news. Something I didn't mention up top is there's a new Robin Hood movie in the works, Con.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just go through it. Hugh Jackman and Jodie Comer will star in a new Robin Hood movie titled The Death of Robin Hood. What do you think that story's about?
Two guesses. One, he probably dies.
Do you reckon? What gives it away?
Yeah, it's a tough one. But if I was a shot in the dark, I mean, that's what I'd say.
All banter aside, why did they call it that?
I don't know. It's a weird title.
That's very weird.
Give the game away.
I will just read you the synopsis, which I think I like. I'll see if I can persuade Connor. The dark reimagining sees Robin Hood grappling with his past after a life of crime and murder, who finds himself gravely injured and in the hands of a mysterious woman who offers him a chance at salvation. So it looks like it's more of an R-rated type movie. And he's maybe not so much as the Robin Hood lovely guy we know that just, you know, he's murdered Mandem.
Yeah.
It sounds a bit like Logan.
Yeah, it does.
Do you know what I mean? Sort of past it, he's done bad things, but he is a good guy.
Yeah.
And he gets one more chance at salvation. Just like in Logan, his last chance at salvation is saving, you know, X-23, the young girl.
Yeah, I don't know if I want Hugh Jackman for this. I don't know why. I just don't know if I want him.
No?
No. I think, I suppose he's got to be an older gentleman.
Yes, because he's past it. He's had his hoodings about.
But we've seen him in this role. Like you say, if he's like Cyrus Logan, maybe, I don't know. I think maybe he gets something.
Will it get compared to Logan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get, what's his name? Glenn Powell. He'll do it.
Even though he's nowhere near the age, yeah. He's a draw. Do you know what? I think I can see what kind of you're saying. I do agree with you. I do like that twist on it. I think there's a... I quite like the story of Robin Hood. I know they're fouled. They've done the Jamie Foxx, Taron Egerton version. They tried to make it modernish and it didn't work. Ben Mendelsohn was what's he called? John in it. Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. But that didn't quite work. But I do think there is a market for a movie like this. But whether or not this is the way to go with the story, I don't know. But let's see once we know more. But two good leads.
Two good leads.
Jodie Comer, we love her here. Okay, let's move on to something I think Connor wants. And if he doesn't, then what's the point in the podcast? A new Mad Max movie is in the works. It's been written by George Miller, of course. It's set 1 year before Fury Road and will focus on the story of Tom Hardy's Max.
Yeah.
Because when Fury Road starts, he's already chained up and captured. So you have no idea what his backstory is. So there's something to work with.
We need it.
We need it.
Yeah, I think the world needs it.
I think the world needs it.
And George Miller's got his pen to it.
He's an absolute G. Yeah. Question for you, though. It's more of a rhetorical one because you do know the answer, but does this movie, whether it's made or not, rely heavily on the success of A Couple of Weeks' Time when Mad Max Furiosa comes out?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does. But I don't think they'll have a problem.
No?
I think...
That's bold.
I think this film will do well.
Okay.
Because...
Even in the market, we're going to be talking a lot about the industry and money-making studios, etc. But you still, you're that confident?
Yeah, because I think it's something different to what we've had these past few years. So I think people want the grandeur of set pieces and whatnot.
That's a good response.
I'm going for it.
I sort of agree with you then, because I think June gave us that.
Mm.
And although we've seen Mad Max, when was this? Mad Max Fury Road was 2015, I think it was. Although that's quite some time ago now. But yeah, you're right. I do think there is a gap. Again, I keep saying the word gap in the market, but there is a gap in the market for something that's a little bit different. We don't get many Mad Max movies, let's face it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be shot brilliantly like Mad Max was because George Miller done it.
Yep.
And yeah, all right, okay.
Well, I think it's going to be good.
Good response.
So, but does that mean Tom Hardy has to come back?
Yeah, I don't see an issue with that though because he isn't doing much. I mean, he's got The Bike Riders coming out in June and he's just finished Venom The Last Dance, which is coming to a close.
Yeah.
I know he loved working with George Miller.
Yeah.
So I think he's arrogant enough to go, do you want a whole movie about your Max character? Oh, to 100%.
Absolutely, I do.
So, yeah, I think if Furiosa's a success, which Connor seems absolutely adamant on, which I do agree, then I think we get this.
Yeah.
And I'm excited.
Give it to us anyway.
Give it to us anyway.
Please.
Even if it makes a 10 off Furiosa. okay. Not a surprise, because he's made comments before, but Connor, Chris Hemsworth still cannot, in his words, forgive himself for Thor, Love and Thunder. This is a quote from him amongst many quotes similar over the week because he was promoting, funny enough, Mad Max Furiosa.
Yeah.
I got caught up in the improv and wackiness. I completely hold my hands up. I become a parody of myself. I didn't stick the landing, that's for sure. And I won't bore you with all the comments, but he sounds so regretful. And he's basically, again, I won't bore you with it all, but in the article, he basically says he had some like mental health issues about it. Because it was that bad, and he felt his character that he thought he had with Thor was going one way at a time, for where it ended up at the end of Thor, Love and Thunder, this joke parody, he was struggling.
It's tough.
But the film was shit.
But the film was shit. And unfortunately, it's your fault, Chris. Like, I'm not saying that, obviously, character going a certain way, it is tough. John Boyega is a perfect example. Thought he was going one way, he was going to be a Jedi, not to be. He was pushed aside, but got to take it on the chin.
But very good point, and to sort of defend John Boyega a little bit there, John Boyega wouldn't have had nowhere near the amount of freedom and control in the story than Hemsworth had alongside Taika Waititi than John Boyega had with J.J. Abrams and Star Wars and Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
So John Boyega was completely, whether you like it or not, he was done over a little bit.
Yeah.
Whereas Chris Hemsworth, I think he was on board with it.
Yeah, I think he was. And it's his cleanup.
Yes.
He's just mopping up his mess.
But does this mean good news for us? Because it sounds like, and he also says, one last quote for you. He says he feels he owes one last movie to Thor fans. Done right. So whereas Thor Love and Thunder was so bad, has that opened the doors now to a movie that me and you have been crying out for, which is a bit darker Thor mythology, Greek mythology mixed in, etc.? Could be.
I think so. I think it's good. We want Thor. I want Infinity War. That's what I want.
Anyone who sort of talks about the best parts of Thor, it's Infinity War.
Yeah.
He was funny, yet he was really serious in tone, talking about that he's killed 1,500 people and he's lost his mum, his dad, his best friend, his brother. And yet he managed to portray a Thor that is so likable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Infinity War Thor, just give us that. And then obviously you get his action scenes, which is perfect. So Yeah, Infinity War, Thor, just copy the template.
Just do it.
Okay, sticking on Marvel before we come on to some very interesting topics. Giancarlo Esposito, why is this not big news?
It should be big news.
I don't get what's going on.
Yeah.
I know everyone's tweeting about it, so it's not like it's not making any noise, but this is one of the best actors.
It should be on MTV News. MTV News should be running this.
Let me just say this, because I haven't actually said the news yet. He has confirmed, Mr. Esposito has officially confirmed he's joined Marvel. Yeah. Not in talks. He's been cast in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He says it's better than anyone could ever imagine, his character. He does go on to say, which I don't think we should focus on, that it's not any of the ones that have been fan-casted for him. Because I think he's probably just might be throwing shade over that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't stick on that. But yeah, huge.
Yeah.
What a win.
That is a big, big cast. In a time where Marvel need it.
Yes.
That's a big casting.
Absolutely. I've got some ideas of some casting. Anyone that you jumps to mind for you?
Samuel Jackson's dad.
Maybe. Do you know what? Yes. Now, funny you should say that, though, because I put down here new head of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. So, I think he'll fit that role.
Like, you know, I'm not just because he's done the Stan Edgar, The Boys, which we'll be talking about in a little bit. Not just because he can do the corporate role, but I just feel like he would be quite a good authority figure.
Yeah.
That they answer to, because the authority figure at the minute in the MCU with regards to Avengers is Harrison Ford's Red Hulk.
Yeah.
But obviously, he's not going to stick around.
No. He's got one or two in
him. And we know, obviously, the story, the way it's going to go with Captain America, Brave New World, for God's sake, shit title, is that, you know, he's going to be Red Hulk and then it's going to go one of two ways and he's not going to stick around.
Yeah.
So
can't be bothered.
You do need a... He can't be bothered, no. You do need a authority figure ahead to slip in because Fury's done as well. So
yeah.
That's one I just thought I'd throw out.
I think that's good. Not too taxing
for
him. I don't know if we'll see him as a villain.
This is a good question. Yeah. Because he's probably one of, in the last decade of TV, especially TV, he's been the go-to guy for villains.
He's an excellent villain.
Because he's that good.
Yeah.
And yes, they are all quite similar.
Yeah.
But he just, why break something that is just so good?
Yeah.
We're talking Moff Gideon in Star Wars. We're talking Stan Edgar in The Boys. We're talking Gus Fring. He's just, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
But I've got some others here, and you just tell me if you don't like it or not. So I'm going to throw the obvious one, which everyone's saying. Could he just slot in and Marvel just do damage control and make him the Kang?
Ooh, good shout.
Can we soundbite you doing ooh?
I'll put it on this. I think when I'm younger, I want someone younger for that.
Okay.
I don't think he's...
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Move on. The obvious one, which has always been fan-casted, is him as Charles Xavier, as Professor X.
Don't like it.
You don't like it?
No.
Okay.
I think maybe I'm just too fixated on the ones we've got that I can't break that mould.
Okay. I must admit, I quite like that, but I don't think that is going to be it. Now, this one, I think, is perfect. Yeah. And I mean perfect.
Go on.
Perfect. Norman Osborn.
Mm-hmm. That would be...
That is just incredible.
Yeah.
I can see him as running a big, powerful organization, Oscorp Industries, the arrogance, the doesn't care about his son, Harry Osborn, when he gets introduced. I just love it. I just think him in a suit, being the Sinister, becoming Green Goblin even, becoming a goblin or whatever, I just think that is perfect.
And he'd be good as Green Goblin.
It would be good because... Obviously, he can just get in the suit and you just need his excellent voice.
Yeah.
Which brings me on to my next thing.
Oh.
Speaking of excellent voices, Doom?
Yeah, see, I had that in my mind, but I don't think I want him as Doom.
Do you want the Victor Von Doom a little bit then, suave? Yeah. Okay.
I want Glenn Powell.
Do you know what? Make Glenn Powell all the Fantastic Four. And I actually like for Doom, which is a rumour at the minute. I don't think you're going to like it. Ben Affleck.
No. Leave it alone. I don't want that.
I'm not saying anything more. It's just a rumor. Apparently, he's in talks with Marvel, and apparently, he's up there with one of the lovely cards. Apparently, Mads Mikkelsen is also one of the run-ins, which I think would be good.
Yeah.
But we have seen him in the MCU in Doctor Strange, but do we care? Not really.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd throw a couple of them out. Another one I really like, by the way, is, do you remember, you know, Blade?
Yeah.
You know, he's right-hand man, which was the old, like, southern type guy with long hair, Whistler.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, you could just change up the character slightly because it's not like an iconic character.
Yeah.
I can't remember the guy who played him in the Blade trilogy. He was fantastic. But Blade's right-hand man who taught him everything he knows, older guy who's really serious, I think that's perfect for him as well.
Yeah, that'd be a good shout. Quite like that. Yeah, and that pulls the Blade. That just bumps Blade up.
Yeah.
It doesn't need it.
And I do think they will be looking at, I know he's half Latin as well, I think, Giancarlo Esposito. Mm. But I do think Blade will be looking at a majority black cast.
Yeah.
I think they are looking at that. So that just makes sense to me.
It slots in.
It slots in.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at. Let us know your thoughts. Maybe we'll throw something up on the Twitter again, a snippet of this. Don't know why I just banged the mic. Yeah. Apologies for that. Blame Connor. Okay, moving on now. Top five highest net losses of 2023 were confirmed this week. Wowza, I would ask you what you think they are, but I think you know them. I'm just going to run through it and then we'll have a quick little chat. So in first place was the Marvels with a net loss of $237 million. Wowza.
That is a lot.
Wowza. The Flash coming next with $155 million net loss. Then it was Indiana Jones with $143 million. Then it was Wish with $131 and Haunted Mansion with $117 loss.
Jesus.
Wow.
This is why it's costing me about $7,000 to go to Disney World. Because they keep churning that shit.
Yeah.
And they've got to make their money back.
Well, Connor, you just said it. Four of those are Disney.
Yeah. Disney film. Haunted Mansion, you should know that. You don't need to make that film. You've made it, what, there's a third remake?
I think it is, yeah.
We don't need it.
And also, why did the budget, and I'm pretty sure the budget, we've spoken about it on the podcast, I think it was 200 mil, maybe more.
Yeah.
It had Owen Wilson, Rosara Dawson, etc. But why did it need to be 200 million? Dune wasn't 200 million.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But I don't know who said we need a Haunted Mansion film. We'll just have one, though.
No,
we need another one.
I completely agree. Another one as well, Indiana Jones. The budget was about $330 million.
Yeah.
One of the most expensive movies ever. Why?
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 Yeah.
The Marvels, I think, had a budget of around $250. So the theme here is huge budgets on movies that are just not got an audience interested.
Yeah. I feel that Wish has been hard done by because I forgot about Wish.
I liked it. I liked the movie.
A lot of people like it.
Yeah.
But I forgot about it. I don't think it's really marketed well.
But it wasn't marketed. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Didn't need the high budget it did.
Nah.
Because I think that also had a very high budget. However, I don't remember that being marketed at all. And I only watched it recently about 3 weeks ago on Disney Plus.
Yeah. It's same as Elemental. I don't really remember that seeing Mark.
No.
See that marketed.
And then The Flash was just bad. So, look, it's Connor said it. It spells problems for Disney, especially when I just tell you in the next point that John Carter, you remember that film?
Oh, yeah.
That was always known as the film that lost the most money in film history.
Yeah.
Which is also Disney. That lost around about $200 million. So the Marvels has now took that spot. Probably one of the most biggest losses in movie history ever.
That's insane.
Also with that, do you remember Lone Ranger with Johnny Depp?
Oh, yeah.
That also had a loss of around about $180 million. So Disney can't afford, whereas those just sort of brushed past those losses for Disney because they had Star Wars and MCU, but both of those are in mud a little bit. So Disney can't afford to do this anymore.
They can't get it wrong anymore.
No.
Because you haven't got Endgame or Infinity War backing up, giving you your $2 billion or whatever you're getting. You ain't getting that.
Because if you would have said, let's say I've traveled back in time, I've took my whiskey and I've just landed in your house.
Spilt none of it.
And I just didn't spill a drop. And I said, Con, wake up. You said, what are you doing in my room?
Yeah.
And I said, Connor, get the fuck up. And I said, look.
I'm naked.
Just put your clothes on, Connor. For God's sake, it's getting weird now. I'll go downstairs and wait for you. You then come downstairs in your gym jams. And I then say, Connor, I'm from the future. In 5 years from now, I'm going to tell you that a Marvel movie has made a loss of $237 million. And it was a movie that had just come out after like Spider-Man No Way Home, where Tobey Maguire all link up, etc.
Yeah.
You'd have said, fuck off.
I'd say, no way.
No, all jokes aside, no way.
Yeah, there's no chance in hell what's happening.
Because 5 years ago, we were that was Endgame.
Yeah.
2019, but not even that, sort of in between Endgame and Infinity War. So you would have said, a Marvel movie losing that much money? No, it makes a billion.
Yeah. How can it go so wrong? Yeah.
That's especially, what I say. Do you know what? Especially when, I didn't even plan this, but 5 years ago, Captain Marvel 1 come out and made over £1 billion.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If I was to tell you that the sequel loses that much, oh, just crazy.
How has that gone so wrong?
I don't know. Maybe the listeners can tell us, because that is an absolute disgrace. Okay, moving on, Com. Last piece of news before we get onto trailers.
Mm.
I've got The Rock's assassination piece for you.
Yeah.
So stop me wherever you can. I'm just going to list out some of the things that are really, really surprising, because it was out of nowhere, this article, and it's an assassination attempt on The Rock as a character.
Yeah.
Now, so a bit of a caveat. This was done by The Rap, and specifically the writer is a guy called Umberto Gonzalez. You may know him on Twitter. I followed him for years. Great journalist. 100% hates The Rock. I've known that for years. It's so obvious. Like I say, I followed him and he is good, but I just wanted to put that caveat out there. That's my opinion. It's very, very obvious. Basically, he was really cheering. I remember him really cheering for Black Adam to foul, and like, it was really, really weird the way he was sort of going at it constantly. So that's just my opinion. And also, MGM have come out to refuse all of the allegations that have put in this. They've said it's all false and it's a ridiculous article. Because it's about Red One. Do you remember the film?
Yeah.
So Chris Evans, J.K. Simmons, and he's Santa? No. J.K. Simmons is Santa, and The Rock The Rock is like an elf.
Yeah.
But like an SAS type.
It's basically like, what's that Chris? Oh, it'll come to me later.
Arthur Christmas. Yeah. So I think it's legit. I think that's the tone of the movie.
I like that film.
I like that film too. Yeah. I really like that film. I think James McAvoy is. Yeah. It's a really good film. So anyway, it's about that one. And I'll start with this. So according to The Rap, The Rock was 7 to 8 hours a day late on set. One anonymous insider said, it was a fucking nightmare, and Dwayne doesn't give a fuck. That's from a one studio insider. Mm. They're all anonymous again. Make of that what you will.
Yeah.
No one's obviously going to come forward. And apparently it caused production to ramp up over 50 million more, which now makes the movie at around 250 mil budget.
Oh, blimey.
So that's one of the allegations. The insiders also stated other examples, such as 2018's Rampage. Remember the big gorilla?
Oh, yeah. Fucking hell, I forgot about that.
That was a bad movie. Big Gorilla. Apparently, he was, 4 to 5 hours late on set on that movie. And one co-star, we don't know who, even kept track of his tardiness. I think that Harris lady, the English actress, was in that. Maybe it was her, I don't know. Again, it's all allegations. Nothing's been proven. And they, of course, spoke about Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel. And, his antics there and what happened. And then lastly, I call bullshit on this one. This is where I'm starting to lose the article. Apparently, in 2020, for the movie Red Notice, which we remember.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Ryan Reynolds had such a massive blazing row because Ryan Reynolds was so infuriated with The Rock's tardiness that they didn't speak for years and they've only recently just made up.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Doesn't...
I don't believe... The thing is... I reckon he was late.
Yeah.
Not every day and not by 8 hours, because 8 hours is the whole day.
It is the whole day.
Yeah, he's not going to be the whole day late every day. So he's got a lot going on. If he's 1-2 hours late, fair enough. Listen, he's the draw.
Yeah.
He's the A-lister. He can do what he wants.
And look, even though lately, Connor's spot on. His films are not making, massive, massive money. Black Adam was a little bit of a foul. It was a foul, sorry. And other films, he needs a bit of a win. That's quite right. But he is the A-list. So on set, he's top of the bill. He's the first on the call sheet. So you do have to go along with him. Now, if he's showing up 8 hours late a day, then he's an absolute loser. And what is he doing? However, I don't believe that's the case.
I think he generally is a nice bloke.
Yeah.
I think he's very self-centered.
Yeah.
I think he's a nice bloke.
Because why is this never... I can't remember a incident, bearing in mind all these movies, I can't remember many times him being called out on anything, which I feel like we would have heard.
Yeah.
If he was a nightmare... Like, for example, Tom Hardy. I've heard countless times.
Yep.
He's a nightmare on set.
Yeah.
You don't... If you are a nightmare on set, over the course of years and years, things get leaked and people 5 years later go, cool, yeah, I remember working with him. He's an absolute dick. Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf as well.
Shia LaBeouf. Nightmare. Christian Bale. Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Yeah, another one. So I've never heard anything. If you, I don't know if you have.
No.
No.
And even if, if I'm The Rock and I walk in and someone says, you're late, I'd say, what'd you say? I'd say, come here and say that. Just say it again for me.
Just come and stand right in front of me.
I'll say, do you know who I am?
Yeah. Because he can.
I'm Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I am Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And one last thing in the article as well. I believe this is true.
Go on.
This, I believe, is true because I think we'll get onto him in, afterwards to close up the segment. But The Rock also reportedly pisses and pees in bottles when he's not on set away from his trailer and his PA disposes of it.
Yeah, I think so. But that surely that refutes before because he thinks, right, time is money. I haven't got time to waste.
Didn't think of that.
Let me piss in this bottle and
so,
crack on.
So is he time sensitive or not?
Yeah, because if he wasn't, he'll go, I'm just going to the toilet. I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Yeah, and then just take half an hour because he's The Rock.
Yeah.
Very good point, Connor.
So he's contradicting himself.
I didn't think of that. I didn't think of that. I do believe that is true because he's so busy, The Rock. Even recently, we were laughing at it because he's running WWE's sort of thing with, you know, he's on the board now and Triple H's boss and yeah. he'd done the whole month's run into WrestleMania, which was fantastic, by the way. Then the next day after WrestleMania, he flew to Disney's stakeholder thing where he come out and done a little dance for Moana promote that. And then he was off to do his A24 production of his new MMA movie. All whilst doing the businesses and...
It's his football season.
And his XFL.
Yeah, that's going on now.
So, like, he's just so fucking busy.
Yeah.
So I can imagine him doing something like the piss bottle thing.
Yeah.
And I can imagine him being a little bit late at times, but I can't imagine him being a dick about it.
I can't, no. And I think... Because if you think... We've heard the stories he does at the end of his films. He does the raffle thing and gives everyone a chance. Why would he do... If he's a dick, why would he do that?
And why would none of them people say, yeah, he gave me some free tequila and lunch every day, but yeah. It was a fucking nightmare to work with. No one's come out and said this.
No one.
Other than this random article,
yeah,
which, by the way, has come out after The Rock says he's not endorsing any of the presidents.
Yes. Yeah.
I just thought I'd say that.
Yeah, it's true.
I just thought I'd say that. And last year, he endorsed Biden.
Yeah.
And obviously, Biden's not been very good.
He said big mistake.
So I think he's thought, like, I'm not getting involved anymore because whatever.
Because one day I'll be president, probably.
Yeah, probably. So, I guess your summary of thoughts then.
I think it's we've got a man who's on top of the world and he's successful in every single business venture he's done. And they just, the Hollywood elites want to bring him down because the man is getting too powerful.
Yeah.
And I think power to him because he works hard for it. And this is what he's achieved.
Yeah. I completely agree with you. Yes, he makes some, you know, bad movies and makes some, and felt like Black Adam was a failure because he tried to launch a new DC Studios and then obviously James Gunn coming, which we're really excited for, James Gunn. But he still is he's one of the most successful actors ever.
Yeah.
Like, that's a fact. It's in going from WWE to that and then doing all these businesses. He is, like you say, he's top of the world. He's one of the most well-known actors and A-listers out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like this was a hit piece for... I'm not going to go into why I think this hit piece was done. You can make your own speculations about that, listeners and Connor and myself, but I just think that there's a reason this was done and I think a lot of that, at the very minimum, is exaggerated.
Yeah.
There's no smoke without fire. I'm sure there's something there with that, you know, that has substance.
Yeah.
Probably was a bit late at times or didn't show up one day because he was in LA promoting something and he was like, sorry, I can't get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not having that.
No way. And I think if he's late, he'd probably put his wages towards it.
Legit, he'd probably do something like that, I feel like. Yeah. Okay, no, fair enough.
We love you, Rock.
We love you, Rock. Yeah, I guess with that. okay, let's move on to Trailers Con. We're doing well on time, so now let's talk about two very different trailers for different reasons. One, we quite like The Boys, don't we, Con?
Oh, a little bit.
Cool, do we? Bloody hell. Yeah, Con, The Boys season 4.
It just looks insane as it was.
Insane.
But I think the stakes seem higher. They've tapped into real world issues now. They always do.
Almost a bit uncomfortably.
It's like it's mirroring the world.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
They always do that. They always tap into real life situations. But the way the, especially with the elections coming up, is it November or whenever it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even with the US elections coming up, Homelander is quite clearly the Republic, I forgot his name, Donald Trump side.
Yeah.
And he's now rallying, as we've seen in this, he's now rallying his troops and fellow soups, didn't mean to rhyme,
yeah.
but he's rallying those to go against the, you know, the woke or and all that. He's now, I'm strong, I'm powerful, we're better than you.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm going to do, whether you stop me or not, whether you try and stop me or not.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant.
I think it's going to be insane. And I think we're going to have some soups turn and go to different sides.
Absolutely. Like we did see in Civil War, the Marvel Civil War, yeah.
And I think it's going to be as insane as it was.
Even in what you just said, I think Ryan's also going to do that, because in this, you see Ryan kill that guy.
Yeah.
He froze that.
Splatters.
Splatters. He throws someone, you know, he's you know, Homelander's son, so he's very, very powerful. But he looks conflicted still.
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced he is as bad as Homelander, even though they've sort of tried to do that. I think he's given his dad a chance, but I think he's going to end up on the good guys.
Yeah. I think he could be the answer.
To kill Homelander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think he'll be just as powerful. Or he could be even more powerful than Homelander.
Yeah.
Doesn't realise his full potential.
Mm-hmm.
And then finds his wife.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Now, Butcher, for the storyline base of this, if you haven't watched Gen V, I'd give it a watch because we were big fans of it.
Yeah.
And also, it's a spin-off series that is almost not. It's almost a 3.5.
Yeah, it's quite season. Pivotal to this story.
Well, it introduced a mutagen or virus that attacks soup cells. That's what the whole Gen V was about. And at the end... and Butcher shows up at the end of that and looks like he has it. And he's running out of time. The V he was injecting himself is killing him. So he's running out of time and he needs the boy's help to go after Homelander once and for all. What's going on with MM? Did you see how skinny he looked?
Yeah, he did.
I don't know why I'm whispering, but
yeah.
He looked unwell.
I think he's outside.
Hey, motherfucker. I was quite shocked. Really, really surprised at how weird he looked.
Yeah, he did. Unless he's got another role coming up.
I don't, I'm sorry if you're ill, by the way. I just thought I'd mention that because I was quite taken aback. But yeah, can't wait for this. I think it looks absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
June 13th.
So next month.
It is indeed. We'll be speaking about that. Don't you worry when the podcast comes around in June. Now, Connor.
Mm.
Megalopolis.
Yeah.
Now, you said you didn't know much about this.
Not one iota.
Before I get your reaction to the teaser we got, I'm just going to give you some backstory and the listeners, because I don't think many people know about this. Everyone's been hearing for a while Francis Ford Coppola, which is, of course, the Godfather director, one of the most acclaimed directors there's ever been. This was his sort of project that he's had in the pipeline since the 80s.
Oh.
So he's been writing this since the 80s, I think, along with his wife, who recently passed away, which is sad. He stopped writing it because no studio at the time would finance such a huge budget. So do you know what he went and done?
Made himself.
Damn right he did.
Good boy.
I think it's about 200 million.
God.
He's done it himself. Obviously, Godfather residuals have probably paid for it.
Yeah.
It stars Adam Driver as the lead. A little bit of a synopsis. No one really knows what it's about, but there is an inkling. And I'll just read this and then we'll get Connor's reaction. So Megalopolis is centered around the aftermath of a reconstruction of New York City following a huge disaster that wrecked it and wiped off its urban infrastructure. Amid the chaos is an architect who is intent on braving the odds to rebuild New York City as a utopia after the devastating natural disaster, which is, of course, I assume, Adam Driver.
Yeah.
What did you think about the teaser?
Didn't
give much away, obviously.
No, because didn't he reverse time?
He stopped it. He stopped time. It looks like he was falling, then he stopped time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Again, we have no idea what's going on. Is it a world where there's powers? I don't know. And he's is it like a Matrix?
Yeah. Or is it like a Bernard's Watch?
Bernard's Watch. Great series.
Great series.
Yeah. I got a feeling it's like a Matrix type situation.
Yeah. Because on that synopsis, apologies, Francis, you're not making it to Andrew back. There's no chance.
Well, speaking of no chance, again, you're giving me good segues today. There's an issue going on at the minute.
Oh.
Studios are not sure because Francis Ford Coppola has asked for $100 million for marketing and distribution.
Yeah.
And studios are, it's probably because of the way the film industry is at the minute in terms of big movies making losses, there's currently no distributor that wants it.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't blame him. I think it's a very tough sell. Adam Driver, though, yeah. If he's on board, he doesn't take anything.
No.
So I think if you've got Driver on board, there's got to be something about it.
Something is drawing me in here.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It may be because of the things off screen that's intriguing me. Maybe it's that and I'm getting messed up because I don't know what the story is, so I haven't really got an opinion on that at the minute.
Yeah.
Visually, it looked outstanding. And Adam Driver, I wish I was his best mate.
Yeah, same.
So I think that's a good draw. But yeah, I'm not sure where I stand in it, but I am intrigued.
Maybe just keep the mystery up. Maybe that's your best selling point.
Yeah.
Do you remember like Cloverfield? I know that's
yes,
a marketing budget. But that was mysterious. I was like, what is this?
That's actually a good point.
Draw us all in.
Look, you know, no one's not going to do this because it's Francis Coppola. So
yeah.
They're going to take a punt. I guess we'll see more on it. I think maybe we'll get a full trailer because it's basically ready to release. He's just waiting for a distributor.
Someone help me.
Yeah. I bet he goes, oh, I'll just do 100 mil then. but yeah, so he needs the 100 mil. Like I said, I can imagine some smaller, like Neon or something like that doing it, but let's wait and see.
Yeah.
Okay, that brings to the end of trailers. And now it's time to have a little chat about the Fall Guy movie.
Yeah.
So, Connor, before I come straight to you for your thoughts on the movie, it grossed $65 million worldwide on a budget of $140 million, has 84% critic score and 87% audience score, had great marketing and word of mouth. What's gone wrong?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Nobody does. It's a big talking point on Twitter at the minute between the journalists.
What could... Maybe it's a type of film because... Being honest, if I weren't doing this podcast, I wouldn't have seen it. I think it just feels like a filler film. Like a film where there's nothing.
It absolutely is. I agree with that.
Yeah, like Americans, we don't really do it here. Some do.
Yeah.
But you pop to the cinema and you think, what's on? Well, that looks all right. I'll go see that. You wouldn't actively go and sit. Maybe it's that, I don't know.
This, I really, really agree with that statement. This is a movie that if it come out 10 years ago, perfect.
Yeah.
Because people were going out to the cinemas before, that was before streaming and, you know, streaming wars started.
Yeah.
I think we're in a world now where I think the first thought, and I think, again, pretend you don't do this podcast. What's your first thought, I feel like, because I'm going to use our group as our group of friends. Yes, we have other friends.
We do.
I'm going to use our group as an example.
Yeah.
We used to all go cinema.
Yeah.
Yes, we've grown up and, you know, we're now 30 and we've got, you know, busy lives. We used to all go cinema, yet I believe I'm probably the only one now that regularly goes.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So using us as a focus group, I think the first thought on many people, especially our group now, is it a movie I need to see in cinema?
Yeah.
That question has never, ever been so vital than now.
Yeah, and you think, shall I just wait for Sky or DVD or whatever, streaming?
And is this... Ask the question to both of us now. Forget the podcast.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not doing it after this, so...
Forget it all.
is this a question? So, question to us. Is this a movie that you need to see in cinema?
Absolutely not. It's not a big screen film.
It's not.
No action set. Well, there is action sets, but no big action sets.
Yeah, it's not like June.
Yeah.
Again, I use June because it came out recently. That you asked the question again. Yes, that's a film you need to see in cinema.
Yeah. It's his background film.
Did I have fun in the cinema? Me and my partner, Jade, she loved it. I knew she would. I told her, you're going to love this movie. She loved it a lot more than me.
Yeah.
I had a pretty good time in the cinema. I can't refute that. I can't lie. There wasn't nothing I hated in the movie, but there wasn't nothing I loved either. Yeah. I just called it a good action comedy film. But the big issue, back to that question is, as Connor just said, I think it's with streaming wars and stuff. You don't rush out to see these ones anymore.
No, you don't. I won't lie. I was a bit bored. I was a bit bored because I was expecting loads of action.
Right.
I don't think we got as much as I expected in a film called Fall Guy about a stuntman. It was a lot like take different takes and just repeating the same take. And then we had a bit of action at the end.
I think that's fair to say. So we're going to stay on non-spoilers just for a second. Then we'll hit a spoiler warning and talk about some specifics. This film really, really, really was driven by Gosling and Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
Great chemistry.
Yeah.
God, she's attractive.
Oh, she is. She's She's really nice.
I don't. That was a joke. She put in a joke in this movie, which isn't a spoiler, but she put in a joke about this movie that she got a banging revenge body after they split up. Like, I mean, it's in not, like really non-sexual way, but she did look better than she's ever looked. Yeah. Do you get what I mean by that? Yeah. She was like, just looked fantastic.
She looks. John Krasinski would have been nervous.
Yeah, nervous
because it's never close.
You said that to me. They had really good chemistry, and you know, some of the scenes were quite, you know, intense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought, back to my original point before I started drooling, it worked with them, and I think if it wasn't them two, I think this might have been a miss.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, I think those audience and critic scores would have been a lot lower. But I thought they did lead it.
Yeah, I think Aaron Taylor-Johnson, I don't know what it is about Aaron Taylor-Johnson at the moment. He seems to be in stuff, just not really in stuff.
He wasn't really in this.
Nah.
Even though he was a huge part of it, he wasn't really in this.
Even like Bullet Train,
yeah,
he was in it, but not really in it. Like, yeah. He was in bits and bobs of it.
Same director, by the way, David Leitch. I enjoyed Bullet Train a lot more than this.
Yeah. But yeah, he's, I don't know, he didn't give much for me.
Okay, that's fair enough. On the cast then, I did quite like Winston Duke, who was the big guy, his best mate, who he fought with.
Yeah.
No idea.
Is that M'Baku?
M'Baku. Yeah. I was about to ask you, who is he in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Really enjoyed him. I enjoyed Emily Blunt, as I said. I enjoyed Hannah Waddingham. I thought she was doing as the evil producer. She's from Ted Lasso, Game of Thrones, etc.
I love Hannah Waddington because of her story.
Yes.
Because that's like rags to riches, her story, and she fully deserves it.
Have you ever heard her sing?
Nah.
Never heard her sing? Like, I'm not even joking. Amazing,
is it?
Yeah, really good. She's so talented.
She's very good.
Why it takes so long to break through? Because even in Game of Thrones, she was just the shame.
Yeah,
shame, the big woman. That's sort of the cast. The story for me, we'll talk about it in a second. But the movie within the movie. So for anyone that's not seen it and you're just listening for non-spoilers, it was Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a movie within a movie where things went awry for the actual stars of the movie. Mm. So that's what it was, and it was a comedy, constant comedy. What did you think about the comedy?
It did land.
I thought it landed more than it didn't.
Yeah, I did enjoy it. There was bits where I was like, something funny.
There was bits, where I just felt, I was just waiting for it to move on because it just wasn't a very funny moment.
Yeah.
But I wasn't cringed.
No, I never thought that was... I never thought it was shit comedy.
No, that's where I'm getting at. But yeah, the story wise, I think the film within a film, I think the movie, which I think was called Metal Storm, or something.
Yeah, Metal Storm.
Metal Storm.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a bit too bombastic.
Yes, good word.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I think, and I know Connor, again, I know him. I've known him a long time.
Yeah.
He's an all right lad. I know you're going to agree with me here. I think I'd have been more intrigued if the movie within the movie was a bit more realistic and was more about stunts.
Yeah.
And we were seeing stunt work within a movie.
Starsky and Hutch type.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just felt like, yes, it was funny, these aliens, like all that stuff. It was quite funny at times. But it was so bombastic, as I said, that it sort of took away from that. And
yeah.
I think I'd have preferred a more grounded story where I could see more stunts, and it was about that.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I agree.
Didn't need to be space cowboy versus aliens.
No, it's a silly film.
It did, yeah.
And I think we could have seen, like, they could have really played into it and been on a proper film set, like Universal set.
Yeah.
Do you know, like when we go to like the backlot tours and stuff. Be on sets like that and see the stunt tours and do that.
That's another really good point, because it was just on a beach.
Yeah. Yeah.
In bloody Sydney, which they showed the Sydney Opera House about 5,000.
Oh, yeah, so fucking we know you're there.
We get it.
Up all that.
Why did they show the Sydney Opera House so many times? Anyway, they shot in Australia, whatevs. I think I agree with Connor.
Yeah.
That would have been much more exciting if we was on an actual studio lot and we were seeing the ins and outs of behind it and we felt like we were watching an actual movie being made.
Yeah.
But it wasn't believable yet, so that's why it took it away. I think that's actually quite a we just spoke quite well there.
It's a pretty nailed on point.
It's a good point. needed to be a bit more realistic. Do you want to just hit the spoiler warning? Because we don't want to stay on it for too long. That's your warning. So some specifics. I'm going to talk about what I liked was, I thought was really funny. You know the scene in the nightclub when he gets roofied?
Yeah.
And the fight scene I thought was really cool.
Yeah,
it was like Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
because he was high off his head, and he was, when he was hitting them, it was like cartoon effects.
Yeah,
I thought it was really.
Yeah, I did like that.
And obviously, you know, when he kept seeing the unicorn.
Yeah,
and I thought it just worked. That comedy worked.
Yeah, it was funny.
I thought that was really good. Yeah, Aaron Taylor Johnson. I did make a note here. He was a bit pointless.
Yeah, they could have had anyone else.
I do like Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah,
but it was a bit pointless. And one thing I put here about the story, it was well too complicated. And what I mean by that, tell me if you don't agree or not, but why, you know, the story is Aaron Taylor Johnson kills his stunt guy that replaced Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
And then the producer, played by Hannah, calls Gosling to get him back in, but really they're going to use him as the fall guy. So it's a double meaning on the word fall guy. You think we're going to see a film about a stuntman who falls, and he's the fall guy, but it's actually the terminology is that he's going to be framed.
He's taking the rap.
He's taking the rap. Nice.
Yeah.
So that's the story. But Aaron Taylor Johnson kills this man in a room full of people.
Yes. So they all dead. Did they kill them all? Yeah, that's a good point.
So yes, like there's some footage. So I don't know why Aaron Taylor Johnson didn't just delete the footage, by the way, but whatever.
Yeah.
But why Ryan Gosling and Jodie, Emily Blunt, just go, cool, yeah, you're in a bit of spot of bother here, but there was like 15 to 20 people in that room at the time. We just tell the police that and we'll find the witnesses.
Yeah, done. Problem solved. It's a good point. Yeah, yeah. They're going around the houses. Yeah.
They've tripped over themselves by making more complicated story than it needed to be.
Yeah.
What I did like... It did feel like a love letter to stunt performers.
Yeah.
Because even the story was the stuntman was, you know, he's going through all this and he doesn't get the praise. So it was basically, you know, and they even make a few comments about Oscars. I think it was a love letter to stunt performers, I felt like.
Yeah. But my only thing was they're stuntmen, but they're not MMA fighters. No. Why is Gosling so handy? He can just take on like 17 men. That didn't make sense to me.
It's another good point from Mr. Connor Thomas there. And even not just him, but he's, you know, Winston Duke. And, you know, they have a stunt team fight the SAS.
Yeah, and it's like they're all handing them. You know how to take a punch.
But and dive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense.
Yeah, but I agree.
As well, can we get on to the very end?
Yeah, of course we can.
I didn't like it.
Oh! I quite liked the end.
I don't know. I think...
Explain. Sorry, go on.
So, obviously, Aaron Taylor Johnson's character's arrested in the end.
Yeah, because they haven't got the footage, so they need to figure out a way how to make him trip up his own words and admit it taped up.
Yeah, and he forgets his mic's up, so he admits it. So, they need a new lead. And lo and behold, the new lead is Mr. Jason Momoa, which is hinted during the film.
Because it's a little post-it note.
Now, I think maybe it was too on the nose for me. I suppose you had to Aaron Taylor Johnson, big star.
Yeah.
See if it's just replaced with another big star. Momoa will do anything.
I think that's the point, which I get. I know you're not a massive fan of the big Momoa.
Yeah.
Maybe I am, and that's why I really liked it. But I thought that was quite... It's on the nose, but I think that was quite good for what the film was, because it was just saying... Anyone could just come in and do that because it's all about the stunt performers. So then he comes in, all this big Mr. Big Shot, like, well, but really it was Ryan Gosling's body. They just done the facial, but it wasn't, it was Momoa. But yeah, I can't lie, I thought that was probably one of the best parts of the movie. I thought it was a really clever way to spin it, and it was just funny because having Momoa there who looks full of himself, probably a good guy to do it with. I can understand why he's a bit like, ugh.
I think you just get some of those. Just looking at his little face.
You're not a fan. I thought the end stunts were good. The helicopter, because obviously that's all done.
Yeah.
Falling, you know, it wasn't Ryan Gosling, but falling onto the crash mat. Thought it was really, really, really clever. There was one of the things that I really liked. There was a couple of little digs in there. Did you hear the Dune music?
Yes.
Yeah, they were, because it was in the sand and that. And there was, I think that was put in after.
Yeah.
There was like the score.
I did think that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were making digs about Hall H Comic Con.
Yeah.
Like that's what it's all about. And they were making digs about that. I just thought it was quite clever, you know, having those things. I've got not much more to say. I think we've covered it. Look, I still back the original point. Don't rush out to cinema for it. As much as I love going to the cinema.
Yeah.
It's not a movie. If you're going to ask me that question, it's not a movie I would see in the cinema.
Nah. I think one of the best bits for me about the film is the end credits.
Yeah.
Where you actually see the stunts being performed.
Forgot about that. Didn't mention it. Loved that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really clever. Because I felt like I wasn't... When I saw the stunts happen in the movie, I know it's a film about stunt work, I was more interested in how they done that part.
Yeah.
So to get rewarded by seeing that at the end, and you're like, shit, all of it was actually done by a stunt guy. It's
really impressive.
Really, really, really impressive.
They should probably get Oscars.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I think that's on the way.
Yeah, because they're actors.
Yeah, of course they are.
And they do the dangerous stuff.
And they do, yeah, exactly. They do. Without them, we're fucked.
Oh,
because it would all look bad. So yeah. It would go, don't worry, I'll pick up the slack. I'll do it. They mention Tom Cruise a lot as well, but
yeah,
that makes sense because he's the anomaly that is an actor that does all his own stunts.
Yeah.
I've got nothing more to say on that, Com.
Nah, I think 6 out of 10.
I think that's fair. I gave it a 7, but I think I'd drop that to 6.5.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'd call that a good, look, had good comedy. The romance element was pretty good.
Yeah.
Not that I love romance in movies, but for what it was, that was pretty good. Thought Gosling was very funny.
Yeah.
The stunt work was great. And that's pretty much all I expected from the movie.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm happy with 6.5.
Yeah. Could have had more car chase scenes as stunt work. Do we have a car chase scene?
We had one, which was the lorry, which was quite cool. You know, the skit. Yeah, it was quite cool, that. But that was it, though. I'd have liked some more.
Motorbikes. Some like, what's it? Born Identity type. Yeah,
fresh.
Yeah.
Or the Mission Impossible in, I think it's Rome, where he's in the on the motorbike. That's well cool.
Yeah.
I sort of agree. That needed some maybe variety of stunts.
Yeah.
A lot of falling.
Also a lot of falling.
Hence the name. Okay, let's move on to what is on our screens.
Tell me!
Well, tell me then.
What have I been watching? Nothing, I don't think.
Planet of the Apes?
Planet of the Apes, yeah. Yeah, so was it Rise of the Planet of the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Rise was on telly the other day. And I thought, I might as well watch it because Thursday or Friday I'll be seeing the new one.
Bloody good, isn't it?
Oh, it's insane. It's such a good film.
Such a good
trip. And Hollywood was getting upset. She's going, I don't like how they treat Caesar. I said, but don't worry because you know he's like a king.
Exactly. Really, really good movie. I can't remember who the director is for that. Matt Reeves comes in for the last two.
Yeah.
But I don't know because that gets lost because Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War of the Planet of the Apes are a lot better. Rise of the Planet of the Apes, what that does to set up a trilogy and now a saga because we're getting another one, just fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's probably better in hindsight now because of what it's done. But yeah, I really like that, Com.
Yeah.
Really good.
I think that's it. I watched Step Brothers the other day. It was on telly as well.
Still funny.
Classic.
Still funny. Yeah,
that's it.
I've only got a couple. X-Men 97, first part finale of 3. Just so good, Com. Oh, it's mind-blowing how... I'm actually annoyed they should have saved this. I won't go into it, but the story's so big and good that maybe they should have saved this for live action. But anyway, it's really good animated series. I hope they get that Beau DeMeo, who was fired back in ASAP, let him do his OnlyFans, for goodness sake, because he is probably one of the greatest writers out there at the minute based off this series. It's that good. It's also good that like Wolverine is not a massive figure in this.
Yeah.
He got a moment in this one, which everyone went crazy about. Basically, he falls from the sky because he can't die, can he?
Yeah.
He falls from the sky and there's like these things shooting up at him, people. I won't go into it, but like loads of them. And he flies at them from like space down and killing them as he's going with his claws. And then like obviously falls into the ground and he's like, he's hurt, but he's not dead.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Then Welcome to Wrexham. I really like that series, but they're showing too much about... It's really annoying. How do I say this, Con?
Well, about the town.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a football show. It's not a show about Wrexham, the town.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And yes, that's an element which needs to be said, but it's like every other episode is about a photographer. Like, for example, I'm just going to say this, and obviously it's really sad. One of the recent episodes was about a photographer who was suicidal.
Right.
I don't, again, hope he's okay and they're good, but that's not why I'm tuning into Disney Plus.
No, I'm watching.
To watch Welcome to Wrexham.
This is not what I'm watching.
No.
Yeah.
I want to watch the team and how Ryan Reynolds and Rob Malcolmelli has run this football club.
Yeah.
Easy.
That's all you want.
And Bad Batch Season 3, that's now come to an end. Pretty good series.
You've been watching that?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, yeah. Fair play to you.
It was actually probably the best series of the three, but I wouldn't. It's not a thoroughly recommended show.
Yeah,
I just watched it because I was invested because I'd watched season one and two, and it wrapped up quite nicely, I guess. But I wouldn't shout from the rooftops.
Well, hats off to you.
Right, that's it. Should we go on to scraps, mate?
Bunch of scraps.
What you got?
Yes, again, no scraps.
No scraps. I should start giving you some scraps.
I need some scraps.
Just got a couple. You've seen this though, Gavin and Stacey.
Yes, that should have been my scrap.
That should have been your scrap.
Yeah, so Christmas special.
Yeah.
Christmas Day, I think.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's one of the most iconic British sitcoms, easily.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it was like one of the most watched finales ever. Last Christmas, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Was the Christmas before.
Before.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, as an American, you haven't watched it, watch it. But Gavin and Stacey, I can assure you, you will not like them.
No.
You will not like Gavin and Stacey.
And even though James Corden is a batty man, don't worry, because he's funny in this.
Yeah.
So if you don't like James Corden on a personal level, don't worry, because I know many people don't. Don't worry, he's funny in this,
yeah.
And it's actually good. And he writes it, and it is very, very good show.
Yeah.
Then another one is very odd, Maze Runner. Do you remember those? I don't think you saw them. You know the franchise, a trilogy.
Yeah.
It's getting a reboot.
Oh, do we need it?
Connor, it finished in 2019.
What,
The trilogy ended 5 years, about 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah, start again, I suppose. What's the point?
What the fuck?
Do something new.
Again, this is the problem. I can't get into it. That's screams problems that Cod has been saying about Hollywood for a long time now. And then lastly, we spoke about Gen V a minute ago, that, you know, Chance Padamo, who passed away in a motorbike accident, the character will not be recast. The writers have made a decision, and instead, we have been taking the time and space to recraft our season two storylines as we begin production this month. I think that's very, very classy.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Because you could have, and I don't think many people would have gone mad about it, because no one really knew the actor. I'll hold my hands up. This is the first time I'd seen him.
Yeah.
And I thought he was fantastic. And it's such a shame that a talent has been lost in such a sad way. But I wouldn't have thought anything off them recasting.
Yeah, I wouldn't have.
So fair play to him. Yeah. Obviously, he made such an impact. It's obviously no one can play that role, which is fair enough.
Fair.
That brings us to the end of this week's show. As we said at the start, the main thing is, you guys listen, we love doing this. Next week, Connor, I was about to beat my chest, but the whiskey's setting now. It's Planet of the Apes.
Big one.
One of our most anticipated movies of this year.
Yep.
The premiere has happened. The world is going nuts about it already. I hope it can deliver, and we will tell you if it does. So come back and tell us your thoughts as well. Thank you for listening.
And thanks for having us in your ears.